Remember that picture from psychology class years ago? You look at it, and at first glance, what you see is a vase. But then with a little prodding and a little time, all of a sudden, it jumps out at you. It's not a vase. It's two people, profiles, facing each other. And then you can go back and forth between them. I want to suggest that Jesus on the cross provides a similar dual picture, and both are true. At first glance, we see Jesus as a victim of cruelty and violence caused by the military, political, and religious leaders, with support from the crowd who are in Jerusalem for Passover. We understand this kind of violence and injustice happens in every culture across time. If we're thoughtful and ask, what is going on in such cases? We find an answer in the mechanism that is described in Leviticus 16. Well, you'll remember where the high priest lays his hands on the head of a chosen goat, thus transferring all the sins of the people to this poor, innocent goat. And then the goat is driven out into the wilderness, taking with him the sins of the people. This is the famous scapegoat. This is where that term came from. Today, we see Jesus as the innocent scapegoat, driven outside the city walls, bearing the sins the people have projected onto him. And we remember Caiaphas, the high priest, in John 11 saying, "Don't you see it is better that one man die than the whole people be destroyed?" When a person is made a scapegoat, he appears to deserve this horrible fate. The people can't see they've projected their own sins and fears onto the scapegoat. That's an unconscious mechanism. We think about in Salem at the witch trials. The accusing community projects their darkness onto those poor, innocent women. And then, to no surprise, they can tell these women are guilty. It's easy to see and it's easy to feel. And then once the scapegoat is dead, the community can come together closer than ever, having shared this traumatic cleansing of their community. This is how to explain the sense of fellowship, the sick sense of fellowship that falls upon a lynch mob once the black man has died at the end of the rope. In the death of this one person, we feel better about ourselves as a community, unless and until we wake up and see the horror of what we've really done. Hitler unites Germany when they scapegoat Jews and homosexuals and gypsies, along with all those others who don't fit the Aryan image of perfection. In allowing the people to make him a scapegoat, Jesus reveals to us the scapegoating mechanism. When we scapegoat Muslims and Jews or LGBTQ and people of color and other marginalized folks, the cross looms over us in judgment, seeking to wake us up from our unconscious behavior and see what we are really doing. In Jesus' words, we are killing our neighbors for the speck in their eyes, while being unconscious to the log in our own. In spite, though, of the power of those who ordered his death and the mocking and hatred of the crowd, it's a Roman soldier, a pagan, who sees the truth. As Luke tells us, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent. Behold the goat of God who reveals the sin of the world." But now we shift our focus, and the picture of the crucified one changes. Instead of seeing ourselves, now we see God. We see God in Christ enter the depths of our suffering. God knows what it feels like to be beaten, abused, mocked, and bullied. God knows rejection, alienation, and failure, and the humiliation of the collapse of his body. God enters helplessness and powerlessness, pinned down by uncontrollable forces. And God submits to the injustice of governments who punish the weak and reward the powerful. Christ is crucified, but Barabbas goes free. When we see God enter the unbearable grief of a parent who has lost a child, when we see the crucified God entering the suffering of the world into your suffering and mine, we understand, my God, why have you forsaken me? God knows, because God is on the cross. Paul puts it this way in our reading today: though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, two pictures, and there are many, many more we can see. We see on the cross who we are as a species. We see our need to put our sins onto others, to join the mob, to maintain the illusion that we are a wonderful and loving people. To see the scapegoat mechanism and then to confess it is to step into salvation and hear the words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And there on the cross, we also see God, the crucified one who shares our suffering and is with us in every tragedy of life. To see the crucified God with us in our suffering is to know the truth of the words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus does not go to the cross to change God's mind about us. In spite of the evil we are capable of and that we do, God has loved us from the foundation of the world. God does not need to be bought off with a sacrifice in order to love and forgive. For we know God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, not to change God's mind about us, but to change our hearts about God. Amen.